In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thomas shows himself to be a man of modern outlook, not so much in his doubt as in his certainties. He wants evidence, not other people's reports or opinions. He wants hard evidence that you can see, touch, measure, and then make up his own mind for himself. What is more, the type of evidence he wants shows us that the resurrection he doesn't believe is very much a literalistic conception, a dead body walking. Like many modern people, he can't believe it, because his rational, scientific mind tells him that it can't happen. And to be honest, we would have reacted that way too. But what if resurrection is something else? As David Jenkins, a former Bishop of Durham, famously said, the resurrection is more than a conjuring trick with bones. Certain ideologies of the cross give the impression that Good Friday was when it all happened. In one of Graham Kendrick's songs, for example, he writes, Calvary's work is done, able now to save so completely. But if that is so, why did God bother with the resurrection at all? Or is it God simply saying, thank you very much, the bill is now paid, now here's your receipt? In effect, that is what St. Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. There is something in this, obviously, but it hardly does justice to the importance of Easter and our insistence that Christ is our risen Lord. This verse from 1 Corinthians does show clearly, however, that the resurrection is not just something that happened to Jesus. It is something that we are involved in too, at a very deep psychological level. You see, what we humans tend to do with things that we can't handle emotionally, with traumatic memories and relationships, is we bury them deep inside us. But as any doctor or any priest will tell you, this is dangerous and unhealthy. It may work for a while, but unfortunately, out of sight does not necessarily mean out of mind. These memories and emotions are still there, under the surface, and they can come back, either in some sort of dramatic outburst, sudden rage perhaps that seems to come from nowhere, or it could be something long-term and insidious and perhaps even more damaging in the end. An experience of betrayal, for instance, can make people unable to commit to stable and lasting relationships. And we can see certain parallels with the Gospels here. All along we see how people could not cope with Jesus and his message, how he touched raw nerves, exposed hypocrisy and self-righteousness. So in the end, they did what humans always do with situations they can't handle. They buried him. And then, as it says in the Apostles' Creed. He descended into hell, or he descended to the dead. That is, to our own personal hells, to those feelings, prejudices, memories that are death-dealing to our physical, spiritual, and emotional well-being. A psychiatrist would say they have to be uncovered so that they can be dealt with. A priest will say our past sins have to be named and confessed, brought into the open to receive forgiveness. In theological language, this is God bringing release from the hold past deeds have over us, bringing new life to the dead. What had been buried is now transformed. The disguised blessings become uncovered. The possibilities of joy are brought to light. This is the effect of trying to bury the limitless, indestructible love of God. No longer can our buried pain and grief come back to destroy us. It has been dealt with by the presence of the Living One. And in the upper room, on that first Easter day, as we heard in that passage from John's Gospel, Jesus gives his church the power to forgive sins, to put the achievement of his resurrection into practice. For Jesus' resurrection is not for him alone. When he wanted to see Jesus' hands and feet, Thomas was looking in the wrong place for evidence of the resurrection. This is because the resurrection is a truth about us, as well as a truth about Jesus. In fact, the linen cloths left behind in the tomb have been considered as symbols of these painful memories and human shortcomings that we leave behind in the resurrection. No wonder then, Thomas did not simply say to Jesus, "Yes, okay, I can see from the evidence you have risen." No, instead he makes a mental leap, jumping over any merely realistic, literalistic interpretation of resurrection as merely a dead body come to life. Now he answers, "My Lord and my God." This is a moment of recognition when the full significance of God's transforming, life-giving nature is revealed. And it can be ours, here and now. Amen.